Welcome to Apple Products, The Senior Angle, a podcast where we explore the latest innovations, tips, and stories from the world of Apple. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started with your Apple devices, we've got something for you. Stay tuned, stay inspired, and let's unlock the power of Apple together. Good morning, Chet. We're back at it again.
Good morning, Gary. I guess we are. I see a microphone anyway.
Yeah, that's there. We're going to try to do something with that today. So with that, today, let's talk about AI.
Okay.
In general use, how do you feel like ChatGPT or whatever, Gronk, or what was some of
Gemini,
the other?
Gemini, Copilot.
Copilot. How do they fit into our everyday life?
Well, there's two levels, I guess, that I see them fitting at. One of them is that we're starting to see a lot of connections coming out of those packages into people's calendars and their emails and things like that. So we're looking at the idea of a digital assistant, and actually a pretty smart digital assistant. So that's one side of it. But the other side of that is that you can actually sit down and talk to these people almost like you would talk to another human being. And I'm not proposing at all or talking about these being a substitute for human contact. I'm not talking about that at all. But just that they're a fantastic resource that allows you to explore an idea. And what I found is that these packages don't come up with the idea. But you can go in and say, I was thinking about, and propose something to it, and it can come back and say, oh, that's an interesting idea. Let me break it down for you, and can explore that idea in relation to everything else that's going on in the world and actually put it into context. And I think that is a fantastic way for us to learn. Instead of in the past where if you wanted to do something like this and you were interested in a new subject, you would go to the library, dig through the card catalog, find the books, take the books out, read the books, have to dig out of the books the specific parts that apply to you. And I can go into ChatGPT, for example, and say, hey, I was interested, what would it mean if we discovered something called latent spaces? And what in the world is that word or that concept? What in the world is it? And have it explain it to me. And that's where the benefit is.
Well, the good thing, too, excuse me. The good thing, too, is that you can pick up on a conversation. You can go back to the conversation and expand upon it without trying to start all over.
Well, that's one of the things in these packages. They have the concept of a conversation. And the interesting thing is that the large language model, which is what's sitting behind all of these different packages, does not learn based on the conversation that you're having with it. But it appears to learn. Why? Because it keeps the conversation in all parts of the conversation. So as long as you're in that conversation and you're adding on to that conversation, everything that has gone beforehand in that conversation is available. And you get into, for example, Claude and ChatGPT. You have the concepts of projects. And in a project, not only can you have multiple conversations in the project, but you can also have additional documents or even books on a subject that you have put into the project. And that becomes the context in which it handles and answers your questions. So I have a project that I set up in Claude in which I explore different things for the club and how we're going to make presentations and what kind of questions we should ask and how the answer should be and those kind of things. And it understands our club. Why? Because I've asked questions about it. I put some descriptions in of who the members of the club are, what the problems are that they see in dealing with the different computers, what kind of equipment they're using, and on and on and on. So when I ask it a question, the answer that I get back is in that context.
So it's built on your whatever your parameters are.
Whatever those parameters
like
are that you've said.
Audience and so forth.
Correct. Yeah. So it tailors its answers into that realm. And then you get into the people who talk about prompt engineering, and the prompt is what you say to the package to ask it. That's a question you're asking it. I'm finding that doesn't seem to matter as much if you got the context of a previous conversation or a project and so forth there. And I'm not looking at this from a business standpoint saying I want to see bar charts coming out the backside of this or something along those lines. But you can ask it to behave in a specific manner and say, I want you to behave like a college professor, and I can't remember how to get started with calculus. Can you give me a beginning lesson in calculus? Yeah.
Explain that to me on the fifth grade level.
Yes, you can do those kind of things.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea that you can propose an idea to it and sit and explore that idea and anything that comes about because of the follow-on of that and so forth.
Well, another thing I'd like to talk about and get your thoughts on is, you know, everybody's saying that with all this AI integration, that eventually it's going to lead to a lot of layoffs or job losses or so forth. What's your thoughts about that?
I think it is. I think that we are looking at having a major impact on society. How quickly that will happen, that's a completely different discussion. But I think it's going to be a lot faster than people think. And one of the reasons for saying this is, if you were an employer and you're looking at a situation where I can hire employees and those employees work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I have to pay them a salary, versus I can have a robotic system that has artificial intelligence working in my factory 24/7 and I don't have to pay it. You know, that's going to start to put a lot of pressure on the whole idea of what is work, how do we behave, and so forth. And I think that's going to have the bigger impact. Now, a lot of people are saying that we're talking about something in a 5-year window. And you know, 5 years from now, 2030, basically is what we're talking about, we may be facing this as a society. And so that even takes people, you know, in our category of seniors and saying, is that going to happen in our lifetime? It might. So the question is, do we as a society just say, wait a minute, we're going to shut all this off, we don't want any part of this?
Right.
Or do we say that this is going to become part of our lives? And if it becomes part of our lives, what in the world does that mean to us? How does society change?
It's moving at warp speed, that's for sure.
It definitely is. And the rate of change, we're talking about something that when the first few systems came out, the early ChatGPTs, for example, it took them 3 years to get the first one out or something like that. We're talking about two a year now.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
major releases a year. The rate of speed of change is phenomenal. And what's going on behind the scenes and in the process of understanding how to reason. We're now working reasoning into these systems, and they're beginning to reason like human beings. So this is going to be big. So one of my things was looking at this from the standpoint of saying, okay, well, what would society look like after a change? That's the key, is trying to figure out, what do we want to look like?
Well, you know, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense as far as not having to deal with somebody calling in sick.
Yes.
Not having to worry about negotiation of raises, union involvement. There's a lot of things that would be just taken off the table.
Right.
With this operation. But another concept, too, is, and you can explain it better than I can, about the teacher concept, becoming a teacher.
Well, it's an interesting thing, and one of the things that I kind of look at retirement as possibly a model for what society might look like. And why retirement? We're living on fixed incomes, generally in retirement. Retirement can last 30 years or more based on the ages and health and all kinds of other factors in there. And retirees find things to do with their time. They don't have a job to go to, but some of us are busier now than we were when we were working for a living. But, you know, we still have activities and so forth. And one of the things I got to thinking about with that is, okay, well, what would you do if you wanted to get extra credit? Let's assume that there's some level of comfortable, guaranteed level of success. You got a place to live. It's comfortable. You got good food to eat. You got transportation when you need it. You know, so you're looking at a comfortable lifestyle. But the question is, well, what would you do if you wanted something extra? I want to buy myself a Bugatti or something like that, you know. So one of the things that humans can do that these software systems aren't able to do today, and I'm not sure they ever will be able to, but that is teach.
That's an interesting concept.
So basically, if I want to do something to keep myself active, keep my brain working, I can teach other people. Not only can I teach other people, I could actually teach artificial intelligence systems with some of the knowledge that I've got. So is teaching a possible thing that humans will do that machines won't do going forward?
And we're not talking about accreditation teaching or anything like that. We're just talking about a one-on-one or even, you know, in other settings too, where you're just sharing your knowledge on how AI works and how it can be beneficial to the individual.
Yeah, which means you don't have to have a lot of university training or anything else. But if you wanted to get that, I guess you could go get that, get certified in particular things. But if what you're trying to do is to teach somebody, well, how in the world do I write a prompt for a large language model system?
Right, yeah.
You know, I don't need certification for that today.
Right. That's interesting. So I think we found a new job for you, Chet. Well, thank you so much for joining me again today, Chet, with this all this talk of artificial intelligence. It's in the news. It's going to continue to be in the news.
Yes, it is.
Going to continue to advance at a very fast pace. So we just better buckle up and be ready and try to learn as much as we can about it. Don't be afraid of it. And we might even in the future have some classes on that. I do want to remind everyone that our next meeting is Wednesday, October the 8th at 1 to 3 in the Veterans. And Chet, I'll let you break the title of this.
We're going to be doing a fall cleanup.
A fall cleanup.
Yeah, the idea is that let's go through and look at storage use in our devices and in things like iCloud and so forth, and how do we clean things up and, you know, kind of like I think about it, you're raking up the leaves.
There you go. Yeah.
And then the other side is, well, are all the settings that we have current and active? Right. So we're going to pop the hood and look under the hood and make sure that all of the things that we have defined for our accounts are still current and active. You got correct phone numbers. I've run into people who have tried to do password resets. They want to, the system wants to send a verification to your phone, but the phone number that's on record is the home number phone that they had 5 years ago, and they don't have access to that phone any longer. So
that's a rabbit hole in itself.
Yes, it is.
Well, that sounds great. So, yeah, and then we can maybe show everyone how to actually check the storage on our devices so we don't get these spam warnings that you're running out of space.
Oh, no, we're going to get those because they have no relation to reality.
All right, well, we're going to call it a day. Thanks a lot, Chet, and I guess we'll call it a day.
Sounds good to me, Gary. Until the next time.
All right.
I've stayed here too long, but something brings me back to you. I swear we belong, I'm still hanging on, but something brings me back to you.